Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning. It's a Justice Business Takeout for our first story this morning. Louis' story is out today, but Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek magazine, we managed to catch up with him out on bail up there in Westport, Connecticut. So, Dan Gross, good morning. I guess the Bear Stearns hedge fund managers were acquitted yesterday. First of all, how important was this trial, and how surprised were you by the acquittal?
Well, it was more symbolic than having real import. This was a trial of two hedge fund managers. They ran a hedge fund for Bear Stearns that blew up in 2007. They'd invested in crazy mortgage-backed securities. So it helped precipitate the crisis that led to Bear Stearns' downfall. In the vast scheme of things, when you think about AIG and Lehman Brothers, this is a footnote. But what's important is this is one of the few and only cases in which a criminal prosecution has been brought against some kind of major players on Wall Street in this whole credit debacle.
In this credit debacle, I mean, you've got the junk bond prosecutions
right.
of a generation
ago.
The
Great Panic of 2008, this is the first right. big sort of showy trial. Name brand guys, name brand firm, Bear Stearns was a fourth, fifth biggest investment bank on Wall Street. And there's been this desire, so much money was lost, these bailouts, all the bad things that happened, a desire to say, hey, there must have been a lot of crimes committed. There must be a few people responsible, because pretty much everybody else, aside from Bernie Madoff, seems to have got off scot-free. And I felt from the beginning that the distinguishing feature of this debacle was the lack of criminality. Yes, there was mortgage fraud, et cetera. But so much of the losses, so many of the problems were just highly compensated people who had access to huge amounts of money behaving in an incredibly stupid manner with the oversight of their highly
right.
compensated bosses, boards of directors, and investors.
And in a free democracy like America, stupidity is not illegal at
right.
least at this point. And indeed, you called them crazy mortgage-backed securities, but part of the jury's consideration was that everybody invested in these. So, going forward, it's unclear what the precedent that was set here in this Bear
right.
Stearns case.
We got to go, Dan,
but thanks so much to Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek magazine.
Okay, now to sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Ibrahim, we are halfway. This is week 9, halfway through the NFL season. So let's talk about the best and the worst. And I want to start with the worst because this is really odd to me. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that have the exact same record. They've won 1 and lost 7. And there's 3 that have the exact same record, 1-2 and lost 6. So there's a lot of bad out there.
There is a lot of bad. The Detroit Lions have lost 24 of 25 games.
First, you had to mention them first.
I just want to get it out there. Just send some love
okay.
to Detroit
yeah.
and to those Lions fans.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will turn around. But let me just go. A good story on that tip is the Tennessee Titans. They have this. They're 2-6, but they have the second best rushing attack in the league, and they have a guy named Amard Hall, who's a fullback, who was a U.S. Marine, and he served in the late 90s and the beginning of the decade, and he was in the streets of Kosovo. He patrolled Kabul. He's now he ended up becoming a national champion. He walked on to the Texas Longhorns. He played with Vince Young, and now he's the fullback who blocks for the running backs and the second best rushing attack in the league. So on Veterans Day, I think that's
a
good story.
Absolutely great thing to point out. So a lot of bad out there, but we do have two teams that are still undefeated, and they lead their own conferences.
And the Indianapolis Colts are 8-0 in the AFC, and the New Orleans Saints are 8-0 in the NFC. So that's only, and they will not meet each other in regular season. So they
right.
just
Bowl.
Might meet
that's
each other
the
in the Super Bowl.
Bowl. Yeah.
That's what we would like to see. That's what everyone would like to see. The other thing about the Colts, one of the things that makes them good is that they've only allowed 5 sacks this whole year. So they have
oh,
the best
wow.
offensive line. And Peyton Manning has only been hit 19 times. The Saints, they've scored 303 points, but they've also intercepted the ball 16 times, which leads the league. So they're exceptional on offense and on defense.
Okay, we'll see what the rest of the season looks like. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, thanks.
Good morning.
Thanks, Ibrahim. Our last takeout has some irresistible reaction that you had to that irresistible TV show that turned 40 this week.
One of my most fond memories of growing up watching Sesame Street has to be when they play the little video vignettes. And Mr. Hooper's store, hello. There's nothing better than Mr. Hooper.
I'm going to miss you, Mr. Looper.
That's
Hooper, Big Bird, Hooper.
Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street died back in 1982. He still lives on in people's memories generations later. Paula writes, my son and daughter watched Sesame Street as children and loved it as I did. My oldest grandson watched it and learned every letter when he was 2 years old. And my next grandson adored it and also watched and learned. My third grandson cannot be separated from Elmo.
Just like my kids, it's a worldwide event. You can't escape Sesame Street anywhere in the world. Who'd want to anyway? Harut emails this. I'm from Eritrea, East Africa. When I was growing up, there was an American military-based TV station in Asmara. I used to watch the show, and in my first grade, I knew how to read and write in English fast. Even though I went to an excellent private school, I personally attribute all my successes to the shows.
But no show is without its critics, of course. Lul has no problem with the Muppets, but she writes, I really enjoyed your Sesame Street segment when you discussed all the cutting-edge social issues that it embraced to help shape young minds, but I was struck as to why you didn't ask why the show has not had a gay family on, or even the child of a gay family. You can weigh in on that at thetakeaway.org. You can also watch a video of longtime Sesame Street cast member Bob McGrath telling us a story of how he taught a children's song to Ralph Nader, which, please God, don't let me ever hear Ralph Nader sing.
Finally, a discussion of diversity in the military brought this comment from Josh in Oklahoma.
I find it a little annoying to hear so many raves about the diversity on American bases when homosexuals cannot declare who they are. I wonder how diverse everything would be if other nationalities were asked to not ask or tell who they are.
That's a good question. Tell us anything you think we're missing at 8778-MYTAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. And one thing you can weigh in on today on...
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.